And so now, what a day we have in store for you this morning. Our lives are full of change and transition, movement from one stage of life to another. And if we are fortunate, we have communities like this one to help us chart the way. And so as Marian comes forward now to kindle the flame of our faith, the faith that represents the warmth of our community and the glow of light that welcomes us through all of life's transitions, we gather this morning in hopes to worship and honor all of the transitions in our lives. So may it be.
So once, on a full moon light night, by the light of the full moon, it was possible to see a teeny, tiny egg on a leaf. After a few warm, sunny days, that egg burst open and out crawled a caterpillar. That caterpillar was very squirmy, kind of stretchy. It was quite smooth. It was beautiful colors. And it was very hungry. So it was a good thing that it happened to hatch on a leaf, because that's what it liked to eat. And it began to eat that leaf. It ate that leaf and ate that leaf. And then crawled onto the branch and found another leaf and ate it. And to another branch, another leaf, further down the branch, another leaf. And it seemed like the whole world was just all branches and leaves. And that was a good thing, because the caterpillar was so hungry. But eventually, perhaps its belly was a little bit full, it stopped. There was blue sky up there. And some bright colored flowers? It didn't really know. But it grew curious, and it began to dream a little. Oh, if only it could see more of the world. If only it could flit about. Maybe even fly. But then it thought, what a silly thought. How could I ever fly? I'm just a little caterpillar. And so it crawled along another leaf and ate some more. Well, sometimes I think that we people are a little bit like that caterpillar. We dream big dreams. Maybe we dream of flying, becoming an astronaut, or an actor, a doctor, or a dancer, or maybe we dream of being a really effective social activist. But we're just too hungry. We just keep crawling on our branch and eating our leaves, and we just don't quite have time to get to those things we want to do. But I kind of think that if we keep those dreams in mind and still keep on eating, because we do need to eat, we have to figure out what our deepest hungers are and satisfy them, well, then I think maybe our dreams will come true. When a caterpillar grows, its skin doesn't grow. So it has to slough off old skin to grow bigger, to allow for change. And today, as we celebrate transitions through the ages, it's kind of like we're celebrating the sloughing off of old skin and the growth that happens with that new phase. And so, for this beginning part, I wanted to invite anyone who would like to maybe fabricate a beautiful caterpillar. And some of them really are as beautiful as this. Think about the swallowtail caterpillars. Invite you to sculpt a caterpillar however you want. But keep flexible, because you remember that caterpillars change. Anyway, I'll begin to give these out as we begin our transition. So here we go. Take about three so you can braid them together, or two or three or four. Oh, you just want one, don't you want one? Well, that's fine. Oh, yeah. Everyone's welcome. Here, I'll bring some over to the other side, too. Okay, so now it'll be easier to pick some. caterpillars too? I'll just give you a handful and you can pass them down. Can you want? Here, just hand them out. Oh, you want some too? Some sparkly ones. Is there anybody else who needs a caterpillar material? Oh, okay. Oh, yes. Well, big people are welcome to it too. Anyone else? I think there's lots. Oh, a few people.
Now that some of the really big kids know that there were pipe cleaners involved, you want some, don't you? Well, I have to say, I'm glad that Liz was involved in doing the visitor welcome this morning because I was crying through Circle of Song. And sometimes life's transitions are like that. They catch us a little off guard. We're not quite sure why all of a sudden we're crying or why our faces are beaming. But this morning we're going to try to acknowledge, maybe sometimes with tears, but certainly with beaming faces and words of gratitude, several of the transitions that are in our midst this morning. Throughout our lives, we go through transitions, some by virtue of age and stage, some dealing with accomplishments or milestones that we have reached, and some, quite frankly, dealing with uninvited changes in circumstance. This morning, we will honor and ritually recognize several transitions of members in our church community. Over time, I've come to really appreciate ritual, and I hope that this morning you will as well, because I think that rituals that mark transition hold power. You see, we human beings, we know sometimes that we are in the midst of transition, but we often glide through them, kind of skirt right past them. I know we occasionally have a party, a graduation or anniversary or birthday party, but we don't often combine those kinds of celebration acknowledgments with a deeper ritual of acknowledgement of the threshold being crossed. And yet this morning, as all of those who transition make their way through our cathedral created by our children, our archway here, we're trying to remind them that this moment in life is significant. Rituals sort of force our hand, if you will, a bit. They make us look a bit more clearly at the thresholds of our lives and invite us to cross them with intention. Every time I'm at a wedding or a memorial service, I can see it in the eyes of those who have gathered that it's almost like the ritual has sort of grabbed them by the spiritual lapels, if you will, and said, this moment in your life matters. Pay attention to it. Don't take it for granted, and please don't miss it. What would it be like, I wonder, if we honored and marked all of the transitions of our lives more fully? As we begin our service acknowledging certain transitions, I want to acknowledge that all of you, every single one of you gathered here this morning, has experienced some sort of change or transition in your lives this year. Perhaps you have moved. Perhaps you've experienced a loss. Perhaps you've changed jobs or you've retired. Perhaps you or someone you love has experienced illness this year. Life is full of change. And the spiritual challenge is to embrace that change, or to at least navigate it rather than to resist or bemoan it. To rather than say, why me about change to say, what shall I do with this change? And it is easier to move through any changes in our lives more gracefully when we have company. And a spiritual community like this one, with which to share the ups and downs and the ebbs and flows of our life's journey, is a gift. So let us begin now our service of transition by acknowledging some life stage transitions in our midst. We're going to begin by acknowledging the induction of a new elder into the ranks of our elderdom. I think I made that up. I don't think that's really a word. Today, we are going to welcome Don Armstrong into that fold. The full community of elders is listed in your order of service this morning on the back. And we are so fortunate in the front two rows here to have several of our elders with us, including some that I don't get to see often enough. It's so lovely to see Ron and Wilma and Shirley here this morning. So great to see you. And this morning, we're going to offer Don a hearty welcome in a moment into that community. But before we do that, I want to say a few words about Don and about the significance of this designation, because we shared this at an annual meeting back in January, but not all of you were there. And this is good stuff. The position of elder in our community is an honorific. It's an honorific position intended to acknowledge, affirm, and celebrate senior members of the congregation who have made outstanding contributions to the life and ministry of the church over a long period of time. Our elders, through their work, wisdom, generosity, and compassion, have influenced and led this congregation throughout its 50 years of history. Though the position imposes no further formal responsibilities, they take them anyway, we continue to look to our elders as models for what it means to be a Unitarian Universalist. Now, some words about Don Armstrong. Don began attending our church in 1987 and officially became a member in 1989. In the years since then, Don has served on an exhausting and exhaustive number of committees, including, just as a small sample, the Nominating Committee, the Committee on Ministry, both for Reverend Van Knight and for Reverend Melora and myself, on the Canvas Committee and the Recognition and Awards Committee. He served as chair of our Finance Council from 2001 to 2003 and was president of the congregation from 2003 to 2005. It was during his term as president that he overcame his shyness, which I still have a hard time believing he ever had any shyness, and began to share with this community his wit and his marvelous dry sense of humor. In that connection, many of us have looked forward to his roles in the Canvas skits each and every year. And of those in attendance that day, who can forget his stellar turn as Scrooge at the Christmas pageant? Outside of our church community, Don allows that he has even also carried off an exhausting six-word part at the Langham Court Theater. In Don's previous profession as an anesthesiologist, it was his job to put people to sleep. However, his role in this church has been to keep us awake with his quick wit, his great sense of humor, and his steadfastness. So given his continuing thoughtful dedication to the life of the church, Don Armstrong richly deserves to be an elder. So we're going to invite Don now to come forward and work his way through our arch of honor, making his way to the other side to be presented a certificate by the chair of our awards and recognition committee, Mary Kramer. So Mary, if you would come over here. Why are they laughing, Don? And here we present Don with a certificate honoring his entry into official elderdom. We can applaud Don. So Don's going to greet some of the elders of the community that are here, since he's now part of their elderdom. I'm going to keep using that word until you just accept it as a real word. And then after Don is done greeting the other elders in the community, he's going to come back to this other side of the podium here, because we think it'll be nice as part of our ongoing stages through life here to have those who've transitioned at the different stages remain to greet those who come after them through the archway. The next life stage transition that we're going to mark is the move from young adulthood into adulthood. We honor and acknowledge the transition that psychologist James Fowler, who created a stages of faith, a stages of our development as we move through life in our spiritual development, saw as a time of moving from holding one's own theology, one's own perspective, as the primary way to see the world, to a stance of questioning one's beliefs, and looking then at what can be learned and gleaned from the theologies and perspectives of others. Fowler says that this can be tough work, that we can become disillusioned at this stage or disappointed in the insufficiency or lack of clarity that we find as we question what we have held before. And he says it is then in this stage that we try to reach toward holding paradox and mystery. Holding paradox and mystery as being an okay part of one's spiritual journey, not needing to have clear answers to everything. And so this morning we're going to invite Anna Isaacs to work her way through this threshold and invite June Fukushima and Diana Smith, who are some adult mentors of hers in our congregation, to come forward and join Don over here to greet Anna on the other side of her transition. And we're going to invite Anna to remain as well to greet the next transitioner. This morning we're going to mark as well the transition of Maggie Henderson from youth to young adulthood. She is now beginning to chart the course of her future and define and refine her beliefs, becoming more centered and grounded, says Fowler, less pulled by the opinions and perspectives of others, by the whims of the day, more grounded in her own perspective. And before Maggie comes up and makes the transition, we wanted to invite Kalina Dyer, who's one of her leaders in the youth group, to share a few words about the person that Maggie is and is becoming.
Yeah. Oh, maybe not. Just stand there. I don't know. Our youth group has been an absolute pleasure and treat to be with each Sunday. They help me stay connected to the church and challenge me to think outside the box. They are an incredible force to be reckoned with. Maggie is a part of that force. It has been awesome getting to know her during these past few years. She has an amazing spirit with an inspiring drive and determination. We feel blessed to be able to join her on this part of her life. After she's gone through her arch, We are happy to present with Maggie with two gifts with her for her to take on her journey to young adulthood. The first is a chalice necklace as a symbol of her faith to have with her wherever she may go. The second is a framed copy of the principles for her to see and reflect on as she needs. You will be in our thoughts, and we wish you all the best on this next stage of your life.
Next, we're going to honor the coming of age class that we heard from last Sunday. So many of you told me how moved you were and how impressed you were by the wisdom and the amazing foresight that these young people have. As we were preparing for this morning, I thought of how coming of age in many cultures happens at different ages and stages, but always includes some milestone that marks leaving childhood and entering adolescence. First Nations communities sometimes invite their young people to go on vision quests and to spend time in a sweat lodge. I've noticed when we lived in Washington, D.C., our next door neighbor was a Latin American family from El Salvador, and the young woman next door had a quinceañera, which was a huge party, included a limo. This girl had a stretch limo coming and everything, for her passage into young womanhood. And many families of many different cultures have family traditions that honor this move and passage from one realm of being into another. And so now, this morning, we will honor our coming of age class that have done so much work identifying their values, their theology, and their spirituality. And we will give them a gift, which maybe I can get one of our adults to hold up back here. Can you hold it? I don't even know. Can you pass me one of those? Yeah. So when they come through, I just want to hold this up so that you all can see this. They are going to be given a sea rock to represent the grounding that we hope this community and our faith tradition offers them, with a candle in it representing their light, the light, the spark that they can share with the world. So before they come through the archway, you can see their names in your order of service, I'm going to invite their teachers, so their leaders, Gita John Iam and Ryan Kinraid, to come forward and say a few words, not about each of them individually, but about the group as a whole.
Hi, guys. I think I'm not going to ask you to get up and do a stomp or sing a song. Do you want to? It's been an absolute joy for Ryan and I to work with you guys. I think, worked with you maybe 3 or 4 years, and really we have not been your leaders. You have been ours. And this year we have studied the world religions. We went through this whole credo process. And from just being boring and coming here because the adults brought us here, you have learned to have fun with each other. You've had lots of food. You've made deep friendships. And when we actually did a visioning, which Reverend Shauna mentioned, you guys talked about how you were feeling like a little squirrel that reached the top of its tree only to find a forest, a dandelion that was being rooted in a hurricane with the love of the friendships and community, an egg, maybe like the one that Faye was talking about, and a river that was connecting everything. And at the end of this process, you put it all together, you helped each other, and put it all together so we have a little collage of your visions of your coming of age. Ryan and I have had so much fun. I mean, we are so blessed to work with you. You guys are like a video game and a television and chocolate and popcorn all rolled into one. Honestly, that's how I feel, and I love every one of you. You have you're amazing, amazing. I just feel so hopeful that you are going to do better with this earth and its care than we have. And it's been a pleasure. And every time I have a struggle with having to live my values, I think about you guys. And I think about Kieran not wanting to throw his garbage and putting it in his pocket instead. You guys amaze me, and I love you all so much. So, thank you.
And I was thinking about how much you have given to us in terms of gifts over the time that we've worked with you. Just learning more. I've learned so much about myself in working with you, and more about our faith. And so Geeta and I were talking last week about a gift that we'd like to give as well. So I came up with something that this week, and it's a wooden fridge magnet that's engraved with COA 13, which is coming of age, which is our group, and 13. It's just tiny, so that's all I had worth enough room for. But it represents the part of our journey that we took together in this last year, these last few years, I guess. So each piece was made individually, like each of you is an individual, but they were all come from the same branch. So that sort of represents, these talismans sort of represent, I guess, our faith and our time together and our Unitarian community. And the wood is kind of representative of the natural world and our respect for the web of life and so on. And the rings on each cross-section represent the growth and transition from sapling, which is like, you know, staked and nurtured and really carefully taken care of to in its youth, to a tree whose roots have grown strong and who's starting to bear fruit that is a source of nourishment to others. So that's that gift.
So Geeta and Ryan will make their way over to the gifts, but would all the coming-of-age students now come forward? And in a line, you can work your way through the arch. And lastly, for our age and stage transitions, we thought it wouldn't make sense to leave this time period without acknowledging all of our children and youth, because this young time of life is full of change. There's beginning school for the first time. I can't tell you how many tears I shed the first day of kindergarten. There's finishing a school year. There are academic accomplishments, sports accomplishments, losing teeth, new pets, lost pets, all kinds of changes in children's and youth's lives. And so as our children and our youth are going to just make their way through the arch and then cycle back to their seats, Bradley Clark is going to come forward and teach us a song that will accompany their procession. So wait until Bradley comes and teaches us a song, and then when we start singing, all of you can come up through the arch and make your way back to your seats.
Good morning. Now, I rewrote the lyrics to this tune years ago, and I finally have a chance to use it. This is the perfect occasion. And it's a song that you'll all know, especially anybody who's attended sports events. I'm going to have you stay in your seats. Yeah, you can stay seated. And I'm going to get you to clap your hands, stomp your feet. And you'll sing on the chorus. And the chorus is, "Use what we have taught you." Okay, and I especially want the choir to really help me out here with this, with their big voices. And these lyrics cover the transition from our young kids that I've had the fortune of doing some teaching with, right on through maybe even to our elders, especially if they can still stomp their feet and clap their hands. Are you ready? Okay. Baby, you're a young boy, young girl, new in this world. You're making big plans someday. Now there's mud on your face. It's fun you chase, but one day you'll be taking our place. Use what we have taught you. Use what we have taught you. Baby, you're a young man, young woman shaping this world. Taking your stand one day, now there's love on your face. Dreams to chase, and soon you will be taking our place. So use what we have taught you. Use what we have taught you. One day you'll have your own boy, your own girl, changing your world. And they'll be grown one day, now the smile on the face. Kids to chase, and words you'll say as you're taking your place. Use what we have taught you. Use what we have taught you. In love, use what we have taught you. One more time, use what we have taught you.
And that goes for all of us grown-ups, too, to use what these young people have taught us as well, have they not? And now, talk about shifting gears. We're going to sing sort of what I would call sort of a love song for all of these people who have made a transition, and a love song that is printed in your order of worship this morning. It's a simple song, but a beautiful one that reminds us that even though we are often put down or feel that we're sometimes left out, that there is love for us. So if you would rise in body or spirit and join in How Could Anyone?
So going back to the caterpillar, what happens next? It's finished sloughing all its skin. It's finished growing. Turns into a butterfly, someone said. Wait a minute. A chrysalis. Or it forms a cocoon around itself. So I want you to imagine that the pieces of paper you have, which are already well on the way to coloring, I'd like you to imagine that that's the cocoon and that it's going to transform into a butterfly. But, of course, the caterpillar you made will need to be part of it, right? Because that's what goes inside the cocoon. So if you could work on that, and I'm thinking that as you work on it, you might want to give a little hint of what some of your dreams are for this year, something that you want to fly with this year. So you got to remember, both sides of the butterfly's wings are beautiful and colorful. For the people who aren't busy coloring, I wanted to invite you to think a little bit about what transition you have gone through this year. Shauna mentioned or recognized that each and every one of us is going through change all the time. And so I'd like you to just close your eyes if you're comfortable doing that. Take a deep breath in. And in whatever big transition or small transition, what part of the cycle are you experiencing? Perhaps you are in a caterpillar phase, busy with new discoveries. Perhaps some nervousness. Enjoy this moment of stillness. Be like the caterpillar when it hangs from the branch and curls its tail to form a J. Just be that J for a moment and feel a sense of relaxation flow through you. And remember that with time, the feeling of nervous newness will shift to ease. Or perhaps these days you are feeling more like a pupa, with a need to cocoon yourself in a protective sheath. Allow that sheath to grow. It does no good to rush your emergence. The caterpillar, in its pupa stage, turns completely to mush. And it is from this mush that a whole new being forms. Dwelling in the cocoon as mush is as important as all the activity and discovery of the caterpillar. Know that when the time is right, you will emerge again with new wings, wings of a color and size that you cannot imagine right now. Or perhaps you are a new butterfly. Your wings are still drying. Give them time. Don't rush your flight. Or if you are feeling fully a butterfly right now, alive with energy and ability, able to flit from project to project, if you are in the butterfly stage, enjoy its liveliness and vibrancy. But remember that even butterflies need to stop off for nourishment. So take a deep breath in and then just enjoy the sweet nectar of self-care. I invite you to know and accept the beauty of your current state and take a deep breath out.
Welcome back, butterflies. As Unitarian Universalists, we believe in putting our faith into action. Half our offering this month is going to the Cridge Center for the Family, a non-profit society based in Greater Victoria, which provides supportive housing for families in economic or relationship crisis, services for women and children who've been impacted by relationship violence, respite care services for children with disabilities, along with support for their parents, among other services. After the offering has been received from your row, those who wish to are invited to come to the front of the sanctuary to light a candle of hope and remembrance. Whether you light a candle or not, everyone is invited to use this quiet time for centering and meditation.
We have another transition to honor this morning. You could call it the transition of the robed and stoled variety, I realize. It's a transition to honor the retirement of one amongst us, to honor a new role in a familiar place, and a ritual to honor the trust and the context needed to support ties that bind and hold us and endure through all kinds of changes.
Reverend Jane Bramadat, who served this congregation as parish minister from 2002 to 2009, and who is Minister Emerita of this congregation, has in this past year retired from parish ministry. After several years of ministry abroad in Auckland, New Zealand, and then Las Vegas, Nevada, strange and remote places, Reverend Bramadat has returned home to Victoria, where her family lives, three adult children and their families, including two grandchildren. Many of you know her daughter, Kimberly, son-in-law, can you raise your hand? Son-in-law, Michael, and granddaughter, Keisha, all members of this congregation. In recognition of this transition and of Reverend Jane's new role as a retired parish minister, regular churchgoer, and minister emerita, Reverend Shauna, Reverend Jane, and I, well, not that regular as you want. Yeah, whenever the choir sings, she'll be here. Reverend Shauna, Reverend Jane, and I have all made a covenant together outlining our different roles within the ministry of this congregation. We sign this covenant today. The full text is on that blue sheet you received with your order of service on the other side of the property fund text.
Church business, you know.
The basic things to note are these. One, Reverend Jane is retired. She will do her volunteering at a denominational level. She is currently serving as the Ministerial Settlement Representative for Canada for the Unitarian Universalist Association. We don't want to make her work here. Her title, Minister Emerita, esteems her 7 years of ministry with you. It does not come with a portfolio of job responsibilities. We want to support Jane in doing here things that feed her spirit, like singing in the choir. Another point to note is that Reverend Jane will join Reverend Shauna and I in our support of direct communication, refusal to triangulate or keep secrets from one another. We share with one another for the good of the congregation and for the good of our ministry with you. So don't tell Reverend Jane anything you don't want us to know. Also, don't expect Reverend Jane to convey to us anything you do want us to know. If you want Reverend Shauna to know something, tell her directly. If you want Reverend Jane to know something, tell her directly. If you want me to know something, tell me directly. And if we want you to know something, we'll tell you directly as well. The main thing to understand is that the three of us support each other. We support Reverend Jane in her role as retired emerita, and she supports us in our role as current parish ministers. We all love this congregation and want to see it continue to grow and thrive. To that end, and with these understandings, we will now sign our covenant, first sharing the final paragraph with you aloud.
The final paragraph states... I do. Honoring our mutual respect for one another as colleagues, our shared love for this congregation, and our common commitment to our larger Unitarian Universalist movement, the three of us agree to live into this covenant with trust and integrity. So much trust, you can use each other's backs to sign something, apparently.
It is both a privilege and an honor to be back with you at First Victoria, and even more so to have two ministers with whom to interact. I'm also very pleased to be part of two of First Victoria's choirs. Mm-hmm. I will regard Reverends Melora and Shauna as the people to whom I owe the most loyalty here at First Unitarian, and intend to do all I can to support both of them. The three of us have met and discussed just how I can best serve First Unitarian as the Minister Emerita, and our conclusions are outlined, as you've been told, of the covenant on the blue paper. Mm-hmm. My family has always supported me in my ministerial role here, and I am sure they will continue to do so. I have walked the labyrinth with one. I have co-led services, planned them and co-led them with another, and have discussed UU theology and philosophy with a third. One of them has even defined me ministerially as God's giggle, which I chose to interpret in a positive way. I hope I will continue to walk with you, and as I walk with myself, on all our life journeys, and that they will be fulfilling for each and all of us. Blessings, blessings.
Let me fall. Let me climb. There's a moment when fear and someone I am is waiting for courage. The one I want, the one I will become, will catch me. So let me fall if I must fall. I won't heed your warnings. I won't hear them. If I fall. the phoenix may or may not rise. I will dance so freely, holding on to no one. You can hold me only if you too will fall away from all these useless fears and shame. Will catch me, so let me fall if I must fall. I won't heed your warning, I won't hear. Let me fall if I fall. This one chance, this perfect moment, just let me fall.
So I think for all of us, there are moments when fear and dreams collide, and I think even for the board members. And I thought we should raise up our butterflies for the board members. Let's just fly them high, everybody. Thank you. And I have sweet-smelling herbs, too, because that's how I think of you as well. And I won't give them out now, but I'll just show you what I've brought. And I would like to invite, first of all, the outgoing board members to stand up. Mm-hmm. Anna Isaacs, Forrest Smith, Alan Dakin, Wayne. Mm-hmm. Thane Waldie, oh, Anna's here. We'd like to honor you with rosemary, the herb of remembrance. And we will remember with gratitude all the energy and thought you've put in towards this church community. Thank you. I would like to invite the continuing board members to stand, please. Mike and Jennifer. Bob Dobbs, are you here? Lynn, mm-hmm. I see you. Laura Doyle. Mm-hmm. Philip. Mm-hmm. And I've collected time for you because you continue to offer us your time. And there's a sprig of oregano, too, because, you know, you're quite a spicy lot. So thank you for all you do. New board member, are you here, Linda? Mm-hmm. Oh, there's Linda. And if John Hopewell, he said he might watch, so I mm-hmm. hope he can see. And John Tiffany, mm-hmm. sage, in appreciation of the wisdom that you are bringing to mm-hmm. us by your role on the board. Mm-hmm. So thank you all. Let's raise up the butterflies again. This time for the people who work directly with you mm-hmm. or help me decide how we should run things. So first of all, with members of the CELSI team, mm-hmm. stand up, please. CELSI is our acronym for Spiritual Exploration and Learning for Children and Youth. Mm-hmm. It works well if you know Joni Mitchell. I woke up. It was a CELSI morning. Maybe that'll make it easier to understand. You should stay standing because you guys also volunteer as leaders in the groups. Would people who have volunteered. Now, some of you have volunteered twice a month, three times a month. Others have volunteered once. Mm-hmm. And you've been very important. I know there's someone up here, and there's people who volunteer leading the children in choir. Mm-hmm. They need to stand up, too.
Mm-hmm.
Sheila, you were playing the piano mm-hmm. for them last mm-hmm. fall. Mm-hmm. I'm remembering back. I've got a good memory. All of you, I thank you so much. And we have small butterfly gifts for you. Farah, good. There's probably more of you who aren't standing because there are many. Kimberly and Michael, thank mm-hmm. you. And Marianne, you were with them once. And June, you led a workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Marianne and June.
All these reluctant people.
Colleen and John, you're not saying. Ryan and Gita, come on. Jane? Dolores. Mm-hmm. You. Is Philip? He didn't stand up earlier. He was here earlier, but he left. He is there. Where is he? At the front. No wonder I can't see you. And Braden and Phil and Sean.
Uh-huh.
All right, everybody. Let those butterflies fly, and we're going to find you during the picnic to give you your butterfly gift.
Nice.
Thank you. Bradley, that's right. He's got a second part of his song.
Yeah.
Time to warm up your feet and hands again. Now, can I ask all the kids in the RE program, like all these kids here, the youth, everybody come up here on the stage behind me.
Oh, all right. Come on up. Come on up. You guys want to come up?
And everyone who just stood up.
There you go, stand up.
Get on your feet again, because we want to honor you.
Yeah.
So these two verses came in late for me, but Faye said, could you write something about this? So I said, yeah, okay, I'll work on it. And about an hour later, I emailed her with the results. And this is a thanks to the church leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first verse. And a thanks to the RE leaders, the teachers, in the second. Now, in the first chorus, we're going to sing, We all thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And in the second one, we'll go back to use what we have taught you. Because Faye said, it's not only that the kids learn from the leaders, it's that the leaders learn from the kids. I thought that's a great idea. And it was spoken about here earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll find
all
the
right,
key. Now, there is a part here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell the kids.
Plan's very tricky. Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Uh-huh.
Church leaders, you are good and kind and wise and just. You've been with us all the way, holding the space, keeping us safe. Allowing us to grow at our own unique pace. So we all thank you. We all thank you. Teachers, we especially hold you in our hearts. We send you our great big hug. We've learned from you, you've learned from us. Together so much better when we know there is trust. Use what we have taught you. Please use what we have taught you. In love, use what